afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the information on the GBP Members and Observers Call. My name is Courtney, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If you need assistance at any time, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Martin Schenck, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Courtney, and from myself, Martin Schenck, good day to all of you. Thank you very much for joining today's GBP Members and Observers Call. Just by housekeeping, we will record the call, and it will be placed on our website afterwards for those who perhaps aren't able to stay for all of it or for other people who haven't been able to join. As Courtney mentioned, we will certainly be opening it up for questions towards the back end of the call, so please do get your questions ready, and we're looking forward to dealing with those. And to help us deal with those, we have from the Secretariat, we have Nicolas Pfaff online, we have Peter Munro online, Valerie Guillaumat also online, and from the Steering Committee, Ayla Cravey from the EIB, Manuel Lewin, Zurich Insurance, and Marilyn Cici from J.P. Morgan. So we should be well equipped to answer any questions. What we wanted to do on this call, given that we are in a very, very exciting phase coming up to the third annual general meeting, which all of you know is on the 14th of June in Paris. And I think as a first comment, we would be delighted to see as many of you as possible at the AGM. Many of you have already registered. We have a good turnout already, but as I'll go through in a minute, it's very, very important that we get a pretty full turnout in order to undertake what we want to undertake at the AGM. And Nick is going to give a very broad outline of some of the topics at the AGM a little bit later, but hopefully that'll be very interactive, and by the end of the AGM we'll provide a very good summary and basis for discussion of everything that the ExCom has been up to this year in trying to move the markets forward and respond to the consultation feedback that many of you kindly provided. But what I wanted to do on this sort of brief introduction was talk a little bit about the documents that you've been sent, because you sent a slew of documents in preparation for the AGM, and discuss why we've put these documents together and what to do with those documents. This is very important, as I said, that we are able to undertake what we feel that we need to undertake at the AGM. And of course, you've been sent the agenda, so we'll be very keen to get any thoughts on the agenda. We will spend a little bit of time on this call talking about the governance of the principles, and you will have seen that we've sent two documents through, one of which is a clean governance document saying how the principles are going to be governed, hopefully subject to your vote, and the other one is a blacklined version which really shows you where the changes are and what the nature of those changes have been. Then there are a couple of proxy forms. Because, of course, we're hoping very much that you'll be able to come in person, and voting needs to be undertaken physically by somebody at the AGM. But if by any chance you're not able to make it in person, then it would be much appreciated and very important if you would look through the proposals, cast your vote on the proxy form, and you can either give your proxy to a member of the GBP who is actually physically attending the AGM and they can cast your vote for you, or you can give your proxy to us at the Secretariat by email, and we will make sure that your vote is registered as you wish it to be. And the deadline for that is June the 13th. So time is pressing on, and if people could look through that, and if you're not able to make it in person, please do make sure that you vote by proxy and send your vote to a member if you know of a number of a member who's coming, or if not, and possibly the easiest way, just send it to us at the Secretariat, and we can cast it for you. When we look at the governance, the changes fall into, I think, two main categories. And the first main category is to deal with the growing interest in social bonds and sustainable bonds. When the governance was originally set up, it only envisaged looking at the green bond market. But as many of you are aware, we've had a social bond working group throughout the last year. And although the work is not quite finished, it's looking very likely that the social bond guidance that we launched at the GBP AGM last year will have evolved considerably and possibly into social bond principles. And if that is the case, we would be very keen to finalize those in the next couple of weeks and then present those along with the green bond principles as revised at the AGM. And in order to provide, if you like, the legitimacy for the governance of any future principles in social bonds and also sustainable bond guidelines, there are a number of changes which we and the executive committee believe are needed to the governance document, and you will see those actually throughout the governance document, and Nick Flatt will talk a little bit about them in more detail in a second. And the second sort of set of changes to the governance, which we have divided into a separate vote, actually, are what I would more call housekeeping changes. We've had, for example, the benefit of now 3 years of managing the GBP and the AGMs and the governance, and they need a little bit of revision. Some of the old stuff in there relating to the initial and the interim executive committees is just no longer relevant, needs chopping out. But also we felt that there was a need to make some of the voting arrangements less unwieldy than they are at the moment. For example, putting in a mechanic for an email vote as well as having a physical vote in the event of a governance change. And again, Nick will go through those in a few minutes. The voting itself at the AGM is between 8:15 and 9 a.m. at the venue. So if you are voting personally or you're carrying proxies for somebody else, please do make sure that you turn up on time at the venue and cast your vote and cast your ballot at that time between 8:15 and 9 o'clock. And then the AGM itself kicks off at 9 o'clock and goes on for the rest of the morning. It is important that people either come along or cast their vote by proxy. We would like to be able to do that. And the way that the governance works at the moment is that more than 50% of the votes need to be physically there, either through physical representatives or in the room via proxies, in order for the AGM to be able to conduct business validly. And the supermajority needed to change any of the governance provisions is 60% of the people at the AGM. So that's how it works at the moment. That's the reason why we've put these two governance change packages in front of you. I think it's a very exciting time. There is a lot of progress going on. And we're very much hoping that, along with the executive committee, that this meets your approval and we can move to the next stage. But with that, Nick, I might just hand over to you. And then after that, I think we'd like to just hand over briefly to Ayla, Manuel, and Marilyn for any further comments that they might have. And then we'll go into the Q&A session. Nicholas.
Martin, thank you very much for the... for these comments and setting the scene on this. Indeed, I'm going to take you through the package that we sent you. I'll just say, add two high-level comments to Martin. The first one is, as I'm sure most of you know, we have in parallel and ongoing the vote on the renewal of the XCOM. Half of the members of the XCOM their seats are up for renewal. And I just wanted to remind you that the deadline for your vote is June 8th, Roughly a third, or a little bit more than a third, have voted. So there still is two-thirds of you that haven't. So please do vote. You should have the information, but if you feel that you don't, please reach out to the Secretariat. Coming to the main topic here, so the governance change, as Martin said, you know, our primary concern is to meet the quorum for this vote, in addition, of course, to ensuring that you are fully informed of the process. And I just wanted to make sure that I tell you that the proxies can be sent until June 13th. So those are the two key dates, June 8th for the ExCom vote, June 13th for the proxies for the AGM. Now, coming to the specifics of the information we sent you, there are a number of documents. There's an explanatory email. There is a memo which details the governance modification. You have an underlined version of the governance, underlined vis-a-vis the existing governance, a clean version of the governance, and then you have two proxy forms, one that you may give to another delegate or one that you may give directly to the Secretariat. Martin has already mentioned that we are proposing two types of changes to the governance, one based on the likely outcome of our current discussions at the ExCom, and the second relating to lessons learned and operational refinements following the 3 years of existence of the current governance. Now, I'm going to take you through in a little bit more detail the changes to the governance. So, with respect to the first category, and as mentioned by Martin, it is very likely that in the next few days, we are going to agree on the update of three separate documents. One will be the GBP update, as you will have expected. Secondly, we have taken the social bond guidance that we issued last year, we've reviewed it, and we are proposing to elevate that social bond guidance to social bond principles, which would therefore be similar in format and in many respects in form with the GBP, and designed, of course, to be compatible within the use of proceeds bond concept. In addition to that, we are proposing to give guidance with respect to sustainability bonds, and as you may remember from last year, the GBP defines sustainability bonds as those that are mixing social projects, with green projects. And so the social bond guidelines would be aiming to explain how to apply the GBP and the SPB, so social bond principles, in the context of bonds that are, you know, that mix both social and green projects. Now, in line with that, we are therefore proposing to modify the governance so that participants both in the green bond market, but also social bond market, sustainability bond market, can come under our current governance. So if you look at the document, that is the changes that we're proposing in Section 1 that will enable all these market participants to join under the governance and also to have the same rights, particularly with respect to members, and there will also be an observer category. The second type of change that we've made in the governance is with respect to the history and also to experience to date. And I would say that on the second page, the changes and deletions that we are proposing to make are largely related to cleaning up a lot of historical references which are no longer terribly relevant on how the initial executive committee was constituted. Also on this page, there's further precisions with respect to how social bond or sustainable bond market participants will also be, of course, eligible to the executive committee via vote. On the following page, we've got mainly a operational change with respect to members of the executive committee who become absentee members, and we have a process whereby we can replace absentee members after several warnings. We are also renaming the drafting committee to be the steering committee, which is what we've already done in practice but wasn't in the governance. We have a comment on page 4 where we're saying that we, the executive committee, will aim to maintain the coherence and compatibility between the different principles and the guidance for sustainability bonds. And then last but not least, on the last page of the governance, we are proposing to, in the future, have the option of governance changes by email, because that's something we currently don't have, and that will add flexibility. The rules governing that email vote are very similar to those governing the current physical vote, which we're asking you to do this time round. Now, that was with respect to the governance text. Coming to the proxies, so there is one which you can give to a delegate. It is fairly self-explanatory. We then have a separate document where you can give the proxy to the secretariat. We would encourage you to, you know, of course, do either. The secretariat has set itself up so that it can handle as many proxies that you can throw at us. So again, do not hesitate. I think that concludes the explanatory comments that I wanted to make with respect to the process and the documentation that we send you. And maybe I'll turn now to the chair of the GBP, Ila Krivi, and also her colleagues on the steering committee, Manuel and Marilyn, to add their voices and comments on what we're proposing to do.
Thank you, Martin and Nicholas. Just to say very briefly, these changes, both in the governance and all the rest that has been explained, have been worked upon quite an extent with a full ExCom. So we hope that the membership will vote on them and will read them and will agree with the, what has been done. This process is never easy, as we have so many different viewpoints represented. Not only that we are investors, issuers, and underwriters, but we are also from different geographical zones, and all this adds up. But this is what we have all now agreed on. So I do hope that, first of all, as many as possible of you will come to the AGM, that you participate in the vote, or indeed send your proxies to another member or to ICMA. And also, very important, we are now in the full voting season of the new executive committee. Please do use your vote and select the new members, 12 of them that need to be elected for in each category. This is very important. We do have quite a few candidates, so you have you should have plenty of choice. Thank you.
Thanks, Ayla. Manuel or Marilyn, would you like to add anything?
Sure, I'll jump in. It's Marilyn. So first of all, I'd like to say that the result that you have in front of you, the changes to the governance, is really a direct response to the consultation and all the input that we received from all the members and observers. And you know, the executive committee, there are 24, obviously, of us, and we've all tried to our best to come up with a unanimous or as close to unanimous as we can, a version that you see in front of you. So we do hope that you ask us any questions and present any comments to us before you vote, and that you do, in fact, as Ayla said, attend the AGM, because, you know, we're a better body if we all participate and we're all together. So I certainly do welcome and encourage that.
And this is Manuel here. I very much echo what the perspectives of Ayla, our chair, and Marilyn. From an investor perspective, I would just add that, you know, obviously green bonds have been a great success in and of themselves, but I think even more than that, they have introduced a whole new concept of use of proceeds, a concept that has the potential to bring this notion of transparency and the ability for investors to align their investment strategies with sustainability and a number of sustainability themes into many more parts of the market. And clearly, to many investors, environmental sustainability is not the only issue that they care about. and whether it's health or the jobs or broader development, these are important things, and indeed oftentimes they are interrelated. So we have seen in the market over the past couple of years activity around social bonds, sustainability bonds, issuers that have that really have taken the notion of use of proceeds and applied it to other themes, and investors have welcomed that development, and I think that is something that has come out of the consultation amongst members and observers very clearly, and also something that has come out very clearly out of many conversations that I have had with fellow investors. Now, I think the main concern for investors is to make sure that there is some unified approach, some standard approach in the market towards all these essentially use of proceed type transactions, and to make sure that there isn't some kind of a jungle of different approaches out there, or that people start to arbitrage between different kinds of standards. And so from an investor perspective, I think we have found a very, very good and balanced solution, bringing together these different concepts under one governance and umbrella, preserving the green bond brand, and indeed building on it to replicate its success in the context of other sustainability challenges. So I do hope that this makes sense to everyone. And as my colleagues, I'm very happy to help with questions and clarifications.
Thanks very much, Manuel. That's probably a good time, Courtney, if you wouldn't mind, to open the lines, and let's see who has a question for us.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2, and you will be advised when to ask your question. We currently have no questions coming through, so I'll just give one last reminder. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Okay, we do have a question coming in from the line of Marcio Viegas. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. This is Marcio Viegas. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
I would like to welcome this rebranding, something we discussed since we joined the VPPs as observers. I just wonder if you currently the type the governance is called the principles. No, it's slightly arrogant title. Have you considered calling it sustainability or sustainable bonds in general? That's the first question. And second, do you have plans to also upgrade the sustainability guidelines to principles? And finally, as for the AGM, so I understand that there is no open conference after the AGM on the 14th of June. Just correct me if I'm wrong. Thank you.
Well, actually, there is a conference after the AGM, and we were going to spend the last few minutes just profiling the conference and the agenda for the AGM, so we can come back to that. I think in terms of the it's good that you welcome this. I don't think we would see it as a rebranding. I think the branding of the Green Bond Principles will remain the branding of the Green Bond Principles. And assuming the Social Bond Principles get launched, they will have the Social Bond Principles branding themselves. As far as further steps are concerned, I don't think anybody's taken that decision yet, and that's really going to be something for the XCOM to discuss. And I think the mechanism that we have in terms of finding out what the members of the four-game principles want with the annual consultation is a very good way to find out how people want these things to develop, and we would take guidance from the members going forward for that. But so far, it's been, I think it's fair to say, it's been a step-by-step approach and iterative approach to moving everything forward, whether it's green bond principles, and now looking to see whether the social bond guidelines can be elevated to a different level. As far as the name is concerned, there's been lots of discussion about the names, and I think everybody has different views, and what we came to the conclusion was that it was best to keep it as generic as we possibly could, and the principles seemed pretty generic to all of us, but I throw it open to my colleagues to see if they've got any other thoughts on that.
Maybe just to correct the misconception, Marcio, and thank you very much for your comment. The idea is absolutely not to rebrand under the principles. The principles are just the reference to the governance, and that was to avoid something which was the principles of GBP, SBB, and SBG, which would have been long-winded. So just to reassure you, you know, and to clarify, we are not rebranding ourselves as the principles. What we are doing is we are creating a family which starts with the GBP and then to which we hope to add the social bond principles, which should be approved in the next few days, and then the sustainability bond guidelines. Now, on your specific comment about sustainable bonds, there's also, you know, the problem is that there's a lot of different perceptions of sustainability. In particular, there is one school of thought which would under which sustainability becomes the umbrella, and then all related forms of both green climate and ESG finance come under. That's not how we are using sustainability. We are using sustainability to only refer to bonds which mix social projects with green projects, which is why for the time being we're only having guidelines, because we don't need separate principles. Because the guidelines, the sustainability bond guidelines, refer to the GBP and the SBB, which remain the main text. So, you know, I hope that clarifies the way that we're using sustainability, and of course we understand that, that others may use sustainability in a different way. I'll hand over to others to comment further.
Maybe just a quick comment from my perspective. This is Manuel here from Zurich. I think, you know, the question about name was probably one of the most hotly debated one in the XCOM over the past couple of months, and whether there should be separate names, whether all of those changes should culminate into a single a principles document that would cover, would be the green and social bond principle. I mean, there were different viewpoints, and you can certainly take, either side of the argument. But what I would say, I think what we've achieved here was this solution is to safeguard what is still a relatively young but at the same time by now widely recognized and powerful brand of the green bond principles. And I think there was clearly consensus about the importance to maintain that name and that brand, particularly in light of the considerable interest that the green bond principles have raised within policymaking circles and really beyond just financial markets. And so having the two brands, the green bond principles and the social bond principles, stand alongside under a common governance that would make sure that the core principles are applied equally for all these different use of proceed categories, I think is a really good outcome of the many, many discussions we've been having at the XCOM. So the hope is really that we don't get hung up here on names, and shouldn't there be a umbrella and a sustainability not above one or the, I mean, you can take many views on that, but I think we have a very workable and pragmatic solution now that brings everything under one governance and yet preserves what is a well-established brand of the GBP. So I hope that clarifies.
This is Marilyn. I think I'd add just one more thing to Manuel's rather complete comments, in that there are some among the executive committee that still really want to keep green bonds very unique and separate because they may have specific funds that are tied to green bonds. And so it was important for us to create documents that were side by side with regard to social bond principles and the green bond principles, where investors in particular could achieve what they needed to achieve, yet having an overarching, to some degree, sustainability guidance to allow people to point to both sets of principles in the event that they are using them in a combined way.
Very good. Let's just see now if there are any other questions on the line, please.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one now. We do have a question coming in from the line of Mark Olie. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Mark. I'm a president of a security trustee from the Netherlands. We have observer status for GBP. I'm not sure whether the following questions are I'm asking these questions at the right time. One of my questions is, would it be possible for an issuer to use the GBP logo in its prospectus or information memorandum if both the issuer and the bond issued comply with the green bond principles? My question is, does ICMA consider setting up a working group dealing with the tax issues related to bonds that comply with the green bond principles in view of trying to achieve to obtain tax benefits for investors in those bonds?
Okay. I think on the first one, it's something we would need to do some more work on and thinking about. We haven't yet come to a conclusion on that. We are aware that different people use the logo in different ways, and that does cause us some concern. So I think thank you for the question, and we need to think that through a little bit more carefully. Nick, do you have any further thoughts on that? It is something we are also discussing with our legal counsel, by the way. So not quite sure yet. I think it's probably the right answer.
Yeah, Mark already kindly forwarded his question to us in writing earlier today, and so I think it's with respect specifically to the logo, as you said, Martin, we're giving it some thought. And, you know, specifically if we're talking about using it in prospectuses, et cetera, and I think at the moment we would be very prudent about that. Now, that does raise the issue, however, in terms of how an issuer signals his alignment with the GBP, and that is that's a related topic to which we're giving a great deal of thought, and you know, we're considering how best to respond. Now, on the second topic, which is tax incentives, I would say that we are already reflecting more broadly on the question of incentives for green bonds, both from the issuers and the investor side. And this is happening, for example, in the context of the high-level expert group for sustainable finance, which the European Commission has set up and on which we're an observer. And all I can say is that discussion is progressing, and it may well be legitimate this year for the GBPXCOM to consider setting up not a narrow tax incentive working group, but perhaps a more broader incentives working group. So I think we'll certainly take that thought away and put it on the agenda of the new XCOM, which will be constituted after the AGM.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark. Anybody else?
The next question comes in from the line of Philippe Gordillo. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Very well, yes.
Thank you very much for this. I'm Felipe Gordillo. I'm part of BNP Paribas Asset Management. Actually, I had two questions. The first one is related to the definitions. Now we are talking about social, green, and sustainable. Are those definitions by any way related to the Sustainable Development Goals framework? Are there any links of these definitions with the whole agenda of the SDG? And the second question is maybe related to the last question is what happens when some market participants say that there is a green bond that is not actually aligned with your principles? Are you in any case expecting or working on any kind of sanctions or name and shame framework to avoid greenwashing from other from issuers? Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Well, I might pass the first one on definitions to Nick, and the second one, I guess, to Ayla or Marilyn or Manuel.
Yeah, thank you, Felipe. Those are very, very cogent questions. On the question of definitions, we stand separate from the UN process. We aim to be as compatible as we can. And we've had the debate about, whether we should create links with the SDGs. I think at the moment, we've decided to continue as we are, which is, aiming to, contribute to those goals through what we're doing, aiming to be compatible, but not by creating any clear links between our definitions and theirs at the time being. And so, you'll continue to need to look carefully at the GBP and the SPB and the Future Sustainability Bond guidelines to understand or to be aware of the definitions we have, and of course we remain at your disposal at the Secretariat to provide any information or clarify anything that may need to be.
Thanks, Nick. And in terms of the second question about greenwashing, sanctions, etc., I mean, the GBP are voluntary guidelines, but Marilyn, perhaps you can take this one up.
I think the steering group members could comment each, maybe, because we all look at it from different angles. As an issuer, no. As Martin said, we are not a gatekeeper, and we don't have a standard against which you verify or certify. We put out recommendations there, and if somebody does not follow them, there's nothing that we can or will do about it. So this will be for the market to act. We have, of course, this is normally the role of the external reviewer to express an opinion whether a bond is in line with the GBPs or not. And they should also, if they use a template, for example, that we have done for external reviewers, also in terms of the use of proceeds, they should tick the box, which is the use of proceeds definitions that this issuer is following.
Thanks, Ayla. Marilyn or Manuel?
Yeah, from a technical point of view, I think it's important to understand, right, that the term green bond principles is not, it's not trademarked. There is no, there's no legal claim to it. There is no, from that perspective, there can't really be a very formal enforcement mechanism. So we can't claim absolute ownership of that. Now, I would just maybe echo what Ayla has pointed out. I mean, there is a whole ecosystem now of providers of external reviews that are trying to do just that. And so I think for investors, there's a lot of resources on top of obviously their own due diligence that they have to always undertake to ascertain that a bond is indeed in alignment. And look, I think there's two separate issues here at hand. There is, does the issuer follow the principles, and then there is kind of the broader discussion of how different parties think about the underlying projects and the environmental outcomes or the social outcomes of those. And there's obviously different views as to what is green or green enough. And I think very purposefully, the green bond principles and encourage really all participants in the market to make reference to existing frameworks. And maybe just one last comment on that last point. Also, to the first question on the SDG, the both the green bond principles and social bond principles very explicitly encourage issuers in particular to make reference to existing frameworks. And so, issuers, I think, can very well reference their bonds with the Sustainable Development Goals. And I think, indeed, as has been pointed out before, they're very compatible, even if they are not explicitly linked.
Thank you, Manu. Any other response to this particular question, or shall we see if there are any others?
Maybe just a quick comment for me. I mean, I think when these questions are, just building slightly on what Manuel's saying, there's one thing which is the alignment with the GBP, which is signaled by an external review, and then there is the question of the underlying project, and whether they meet the environmental sustainability standards and objectives that one investors want, but there are also other other criteria which may be provided in the market. And there have been recent transactions where this question has been raised. And I think that from an investor perspective, you can have a situation where indeed the transparency guidelines of the GBP have been met, the information is there, and then there are other participants in the ecosystem like the index providers or the Climate Bond Initiative who will be looking at the underlying projects, and then based on that, the market can have the right spectrum of information to take a view as to the relative value of green bonds that are there and the relative merits, of green bonds that are being put into the market.
Very good. Thank you, Nick. Let's see if there are any other questions. Courtney, anybody else online?
We currently have no further questions coming through, so I shall hand it back over to yourself.
Okay. Thank you. So I might ask you, Nick, just to profile the rest of the day on the 14th, in particular the conference in the afternoon, and then we break.
Yes. And indeed, very, very important that Martello earlier said that he thought that there wasn't a conference. There is absolutely a conference. I will come back to that, but let's start with the morning, the AGM. So the AGM, we are encouraging you to come relatively early. The registration will start 8:15. We will provide tea and coffee. There may even be a few croissants there. That's the opportunity for you to cast your ballot if you haven't given us a proxy. We will then open at 9 a.m. with an introduction by Martin. And then with the steering group, we will give you an update on the GBP in a sort of panel and presentation format. And then at 9:50, Peter Munro here will moderate the feedback from the different working groups, and that should be a very interesting session. And then at 10:50, we will give you the results of the elections with respect to the changes of the governance, and then we will provide 50 minutes for an open discussion and comments about what we're doing, and then we will close approximately at 12 o'clock. So that's the morning session. This is all happening at the Paris Brognard in 20th Place de la Bourse in Paris, which some of you may know is the former location of the French Stock Exchange. Now, 1 hour later, after we provide lunch to those of you who are going to stay for the conference, and also for those that are going to join only for the conference and may not be members and observers, we have a very full program. We're going to start, after an introduction by Martin, with a keynote speech of the Directeur Général of the French Trésor. I'd like to say the conference and the day is generally under the patronage of the French Trésor. We're very kind to invite us to come to Paris. We will then again do an overview of the GBP with the benefit of the steering, but in a slightly different format, and also for those who didn't attend the morning. We then have a number of important keynotes. We are hoping to have a virtual keynote from Ma Jun from the People's Bank of China. We're hoping to have a keynote from Jean Mestrallet, the president of the NG, but also of the French market organization. Philippe Zawati, who's the CEO of Mirovar, will also speak. We're lucky to have Christian Thiemann, who's the chair of the EC High Level Expert Group on Sustainable Finance. And we will close with a few words from our chairman, Martin Egan. Now, in the middle of all this, there's going to be a number of panels which will aim to give you a view of what's happened in the last year. Also, we're going to have a forward-looking panel, and then we will have some breakout sessions around the role of external reviews and also on the social bond market. So that's a very quick, high-level overview, and the good news is we will wrap up with a cocktail, which should be around 6:15 if we haven't become too late. And again, all of this will be at the former location of the French Stock Exchange, Le Palais Brongniart.
Very good. Thank you. So last chance for any questions.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so your final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one now. Okay, there are no questions coming through, so I'll hand it back over to yourself.
Very good. Well, look, thank you very much, everybody, for taking the time to join the call today. As you've seen, some of the call was more about process than the substance of the principles themselves. Those will become clear at the AGM and conference. Very much looking forward to welcoming you in Paris, as many of you as can possibly make it. And again, please make sure that you vote on the executive committee vote at the moment, which is ongoing. And that needs to be done by the 8th of June. And then either register for the conference, or if you're unable to make it, please provide your proxies to either us at the Secretariat or another member who's going to be attending by the 13th of June. And, of course, if there are any other questions or queries that crop up in the meantime, please don't hesitate to speak to anybody on the Secretariat or on the Steering Committee. Again, many, many thanks indeed, and looking forward to seeing you on the 14th of June in Paris. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handset.